If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the one divine source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Revealing and Dissolving the Root of Upset and Despair. Revealing and Dissolving the Root of Upset and Despair. So let's take a deep breath and integrate that greater part of yourself that is the Spirit of Truth that indwells you, that lives in you as you, and expresses through you when you're divinely attuned. So if you wish, take this moment to ask of the Spirit of Truth for that revelation that would be your portion this evening, that would be for your highest good, in awakening to the reality of that part of you that is birthless, deathless, immortal, eternally pure, innocent, holy, and whole. And there's a way to awaken to that identity right now. And it's more simple than you could possibly imagine. It is simply the choice to have your mind corrected. Every time it looks through the false imagining of a fictitious self, that which is the true self is one with truth. You are a very embodiment of divine truth. Truth is not something you seek and find. It's something that is revealed to you when you are really and truly sick and tired of being upset and despairing, bummed out, worried, and conflicted about what is real and what is not real. At some point, you just bottom out with all of that. And with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, there's an evocative cry that goes forth from your very cellular structure that cries out, I want truth. Above all else, I want to see truly. I no longer wish to awaken every day the same fool in the same foolish mess. There is a way to freedom. And I'm asking Almighty God, if you exist, to show up and show me the way. Take a deep breath. And just receive. Because if you uttered that with any modicum of sincerity, you will be answered. And perhaps tonight, there will be some revelations for you. So let's just keep open to that possibility. So let's begin with a few questions. What if you realized that you never did anything wrong, ever? That God is not mad at you? What if you realized that nothing you've ever said, thought, or done has had any meaning or effect at all? What if all you've been through, or at least have believed you've been through, was simply not real? What if all that you've ever hoped for, dreamed of, and wished for was already yours and waiting for you to notice? What if you were like a child on Christmas Eve, in bed and having a bad dream, only to awaken to a perfectly beautiful Christmas morning? And every gift you'd asked Santa for was waiting for you under the Christmas tree. Let's just pause for a moment and imagine the joy you would feel. Take a deep breath. Oh, it's all yours right now. Are you ready to awaken to that? Are you ready to allow the giver of all light and truth to simply gift you with that? Through grace? Not through your doing, not through your efforting, not through your trying. Simply for your innocent receivership, like a little child. What if your mind could be perfectly free of every hint of guilt, remorse, worry, fear, concern, upset, and discontent? Imagine how it would feel to be totally carefree about your life and the lives of your loved ones. The root of all upset and despair is the belief that we have a separate will, that we have a separate existence apart from God. And it's this belief, erroneous though it may be, that gives rise to the fear of divine reprisal and retribution. That whole mindset is what we have termed the ego mind. It always presents false evidence appearing real, which is an acronym for fear. So it shows you meaningless thoughts that cause you to believe in a meaningless world, which engenders tremendous fear. And so the ego mind has simply projected a false creation out of this belief in separation. And it is that we wake up to each morning. And instead of having a song in our heart, we go, oh God, it's morning again. And that's not how we were designed to live. God's will for us is perfect wholeness, happiness, peace, bliss, Satchitananda. But you know, it's interesting that sometimes, because we buy into the fictitious of a fictitious life that is a quasi-spiritual life, where we follow a belief system or espouse some New Age theory, or practice some form of yoga. In other words, we engage in a doing to fix ourselves, to remedy, to create a greater sense of peace, health, and wholeness. But all we're doing is mood making. Nothing really shifts, because we may imagine that we are happy, and that we're not really feeling any upset or discontent. But how about that person we're concerned about, or that future possibility. It causes a subtle dimming of our happiness. What about that? Do you ever notice? That's why we reach for the cigarette, the drink, the drugs, the TV remote, the next attractive person that walks by. We're seeking to distract so we don't think about those things. Sometimes we don't even want to consider or even slightly be aware of or think of the many things we fear could happen. Or maybe we actually have experienced something, so that these past memories keep us locked in sadness today. Some people say, oh, I tried that positive thinking, and this happened, and that happened, and why do bad things happen to good people? That's another one of those meaningless thoughts a separated mind keeps suggesting. We have to learn to dismiss those thoughts out of hand because they're inconsistent with Advaita. Advaita is pure monism, that God alone is all that is and all that exists, and nothing else is real. Trouble is, we're not schooled in that thought here in the West. And what we are schooled in is pure nonsense, if you'll pardon me for being so blunt. People have literally created a God in their own image and likeness, which is as mean-spirited, selfish, and egocentric as they are, as we are, as I am. I have to own it too, right? I'm just one with you. So many people have undergone such catastrophic loss that to awaken each morning is only to keep reminding and remembering what was and is no more in their perception. Yet there is a way beyond and out of our gloomiest valley of direst despair. And that way out, believe it or not, you don't have to seek, you just have to want it. You gotta invite it, have tea with it. And the way out is presented to each one of us in a curriculum best suited to our particular nature and level of consciousness. In my opinion, and in the opinion of Sai Baba, if you could call such a divine awareness and opinion, I err in doing that actually. A Course in Miracles is the most direct, but not the only approach to what is a universal curriculum. We're all here to learn that in highest truth we've never left the heart of God, that we remain as God created us, in original innocence and peace. And our time here in this world is for the healing of that divided mind that sees something else. Jesus in the Course of Miracles said the healing of God's Son is what this world is for. And God has only one Son, and that's you and me and everyone. So we need to unlearn the nonsense the world has taught us, and allow the spirit of truth that dwells within us as the only teacher to teach us how to see all things anew. So this curriculum that is universal, that is so beautifully taught by Jesus through A Course in Miracles, has one teacher for you and me and everyone. And when I say teacher, I mean with a capital T. And that teacher is within your mind and heart right now. beyond the thoughts of the ego mind's nonsense are the real thoughts of God. And they're the ones that give rise to joy and peace and a sense of relief. That's how you recognize them. And that one teacher of truth speaks to you and me and everyone in a way you can best recognize and appreciate. It may lead you to all kinds of teachers and all sorts of perspectives. It may lead you directly to truth. You may spontaneously awaken at any moment. And it may not. It may be a gradual process. Whatever your process is, be happy with it. Enjoy it. And don't sweat the small stuff, because your arrival in perfect bliss is assured. Jesus says a happy outcome to all things is assured, because your creations with God are safe right now. Right now you have created beautiful things within the God realms that are imperishably perfect and lovely. And as you awaken more and begin to see through the true vision of the awakened inner eyes of spirit, the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the soul, you will be experientially entering the revelation of the most glorious worlds within worlds that have never, ever, ever, ever been touched by the illusion of pain and sickness and despair and war and death and all the many stupid projections of the ego mind. The horrible world of the ego mind, which Jesus refers to right appropriately as the ego's nightmare. So we're all, every single one of us on this planet, here for healing and awakening beyond the nightmare. Initially to the happy dream of awakening and returning home to God, whichever metaphors we are most fond of. Beam me up, Ashtar, or let's ascend, or let's join the spiritual hierarchy of ascended masters. Whatever your favorite go-to is for getting out of the dream, doesn't matter. The truth is, you will awaken and find you've never left the heart of God. Right now, you're home, safe, and secure. None of this ever happened. None of it. None of it ever happened. Nothing needs fixing. Nothing needs remedying. Nothing has gone wrong. The people who seem to die in war never died. The war never happened. The devastation never happened. That's why in the Bible it says that every tear will be wiped from our eyes and death will be no more. The Course in Miracles said that death is the great illusion. That is like the root of all illusion. That is dispelled, completely dispelled, as being a total fiction. And I think that is probably the greatest fear we all have. Not so much the death of the body itself, but how is it going to happen? And will it hurt? And will I exist afterwards? And where? Will I see my loved ones? All that. But what if death itself is a big illusion? Jesus ought to know, don't you think? He was the one that actually went through death and overcame it and resurrected his body to truth, which is immortality. He did that for you and me so we wouldn't have to go through that. And now he brings forward A Course in Miracles, which this year is experiencing its 50th anniversary. So you have a teacher, capital T, who resides in your heart and mind right now and speaks to you in a way you can recognize and appreciate it. So begin to reference everything in your life to this divine spirit within you. When you're troubled, when you're worried, when you're upset, when you're fearful, take a deep breath and ask the Holy Spirit to show you truth. Reveal the truth in this, Father, Mother, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, whatever you want to call it, Sai Baba. They're all one and the same. So this is wonderful news, because that teacher is the sure way shower that's present in your mind right now, and you're simply learning how to attune to that inner voice of truth so that you can discern it. So you can tell when the inner voice of truth is directing you, because you will immediately feel relief. You may sigh and feel a releasing of former tension. But you'll experience feeling settled and at peace with whatever was revealed. So peace is the evidence that the inner teacher of truth has responded. And bear in mind, peace, by the Course's definition, is like pregnancy. It is 100% or not at all. So be vigilant for that response of peace to let you know that you're in attunement. The false self or ego mind has projected a false view of the world, which is terribly upsetting to us. But we don't question the upset. We're not taught that bliss, ananda, joy, peace, that wonderful sense of connectedness with all life, the ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're not taught that that is the natural state of a spirit-led Son of God. That should be you and me and everyone when we choose to see. Really see. So we are learning to recognize and simply dismiss as unreal the things that give rise to peacelessness, upset, and despair. We recognize and quietly dismiss them as unreal, regardless of the outer appearance, because we're learning to see with spirit eyes. Not the body's eyes. The body's eyes will show you a world going to hell in a handbasket. But the eyes of spirit will look beyond devastation and simply recognize it as inherently unreal. Not as a denial of truth, not as a stupid mood-making exercise and nonsense, but as a truth that the divine spirit is in process of revealing to and through each one of us, one by one. So you can tell when the ego mind is present, because you will feel upset. And even the mildest upset counts, because truth alone will give you freedom and peace. As the Bible reminds us, it is in knowing the truth, not just intellectually, but through direct divine revelation, that sets you free. Or, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the Spirit of the Lord is simply another name for your inner teacher of truth, or Holy Spirit, or way-shower, beyond the unreal appearances of upset and despair. So right now, why don't you just close your eyes and take a deep breath. And notice your breath. That one that is breathing life within you is that spirit. The word respiration simply means to re-spirit to re-spirit life. And each breath is returning to spirit, to God, to truth, to reality. So consider God, life, your teacher, and spirit to be one and the same. You see how God is nearer than your hands and feet, as close as your heartbeat and next breath. Experience the immediacy of the presence of God living in you as you. So esoterically, the life strand, or sutratma, is anchored in your heart and flows through your blood. That is why in the Bible it is stated that life is in the blood. And blood is considered very sacred. Blood is the carrier of one's divine essence and life force. One drop of blood can reveal not only one's genetic DNA and RNA, but also one's exact and unique spiritual essence and soul signature. Your blood is like your spiritual blueprint, or fingerprint, or footprint. It's the exact print of your divine essence. Now you can perhaps appreciate the power of the blood of Jesus as the carrier, conveyor of divine grace. But let's return your mind to your breath. Take a deep breath. And know that is God. That is God's life force living in you and through you, as your own soul. Be aware that God is the one beating your heart and flowing grace through your bloodstream. So now, whenever you want to consciously remind yourself of the immediacy of God's presence, you simply need to return to your breath. And there are some simple ways to dissolve upset and despair. The statements that we will be considering in our discourse this evening are given by Jesus in A Course in Miracles. And here are some of the postulates that we're working with this evening from A Course in Miracles. We are never upset for the reason we think. We are upset because our meaningless thoughts are showing us a meaningless world. A meaningless world engenders fear. But God did not create a meaningless world. Only what God created is real. And God created only lovely and loving creations for the one he loves, which is you and me and everyone. Therefore, I must not be seen correctly if I'm upset. I cannot keep this upset and be happy. Therefore, let me turn this upset over to the teacher of truth and allow him to teach me to see the true creations of God. Beyond this worldview of pain and suffering is the true creation of God. It is here that I dwell forever as one with God and all his creations in perfect innocence and peace. So let's pause here a moment and take a deep breath and remind ourselves, I will be still an instant and return home. Deep breath. Return home. Remember, you're not where your body is, you're where your mind is focused. So within a second, you can be still an instant and return home. And my husband, John, and I were living in Sedona many, many years ago in the early 70s. We shared a home with Dr. David Hawkins, who is perhaps one of the greatest teachers of truth in the form of the Course in Miracles. And he was the one that introduced us to the Course in Miracles. This must have been 77, 78. And I remember every few minutes he would just close his eyes and take a deep breath, and he would be still an instant and return home. That's beautiful, his example. And we can all do that. So simple, don't you think? Just periodically make a habit of returning your mind to truth. Just return it to truth. Be still an instant and return home. So, whenever you feel upset, that is a very, very simple practice. Taking a deep breath and returning your mind to truth. You are home with God right now, safe and secure, forever in divine love. And one of the most powerful realizations that we are given in the Course in Miracles is, I am as God created me. Right now, I am as God created me. The Course in Miracles teaches that the only problem in our life and in the world is this belief in separation. And the only solution is the atonement, which is simply the return of our mind to original oneness, the at-one-ment, atonement. So every time we move our mind and return it to truth, to the spirit of truth, we are part of the atonement of humanity. We are part of the healing of humanity, because we all go home as one. The completion of the world dream, its dissolving, will be the return in total of all of God's thoughts. We are a thought, a holy thought, in the mind of God. Not an insubstantial nothingness, but an eternal creation of exceedingly lovely divine articulation and perfection. I might look in the mirror and think, me, perfect. I don't know what I've done in my life. Don't know the mistakes I've made. Ah, but what if those things never happened? Yeah, but they did. Oh, Jesus said they didn't. Jesus said they're meaningless. Jesus said everything you dreamt, that you've done, said, thought, created, manifested, created in error, screwed up, whatever, never happened. It's totally meaningless. Zilch, nada. Like a shadow. We've often mentioned the shadow passing over various terrain. That's this fictitious character marching about through time space that thinks it's a person separate from God with a separate will that is capable of screwing up. How could you screw up if God is the only animator of your true self? The only one speaking through you and living in you is Almighty God. It's really hard to wrap the mind around sometimes, isn't it? Because it so contradicts how we've been taught, especially in the Western world. but just have tea with the thought. What if? What if that's true? What if? So, this is the 50th year anniversary of A Course in Miracles, and our good friend James Twyman, the peace troubadour, has composed music for all 365 lessons in the workbook of A Course in Miracles. And it just started 2 weeks ago. You can catch up if you want. But I have really, really enjoyed them because each of his original musical compositions, which he has done himself and then has been joined with a few notable musicians who wanted to contribute, each one is very different, but when you hear the day's lesson sung, that chorusing of that lesson seems to go in very deeply into the consciousness. And although I've done the Course in Miracles, you know, all the way through at least 7.5 times, and have taught it for many, many decades now, still, enlightenment truly is endless in the sense that God is continually revealing a deeper penetration into the loveliness of and the perfection of divine love. Even though God and truth and Christ remain eternally the same, yesterday, today, and forever, it's a quote from the Bible, and evolution itself is meaningless in the all that is, about which really not could be said, because we're very much in an ego mind governed way of thinking and believing in the self that we are right now, this conversation this evening. But we can take his word for it, that although those are things we don't quite understand, because we still have the ego mind that's in process of being healed and restored back to sanity and truth, nevertheless, we can take the words of Jesus the Christ as absolute truth, the words of Sai Baba as absolute truth. In fact, I asked Sai Baba one time, I was on the inner planes, where I'd like to sit and talk to him and ask him questions, and I said, why, if karma and reincarnation are essentially unreal, why do you teach them? Why do you teach people that stuff if it's not really, really real? And he looked at me and he said, because not everyone is as ready and eager to leap into truth as you are. And, you know, I don't know. I think everybody, if they had the truth really presented to them clearly, would want that. Who would want to suffer a minute more in this prison, this meaningless prison, if another way was presented clearly to where you realize it costs you nothing but your pain? You don't lose by taking this path. The only thing you lose is that which had no value in the first place. So maybe the only pain is in placing value where none exists and convincing yourself that it has a meaning other than the one you gave it. Everything has only the meaning and value that we have given it. Another lesson in the Course in Miracles. So we have to even be taught what has value. We don't know. We don't know what has value here. We're taught to value things that rust and moth and death and disease and decay and entropy all will ultimately divest us of. You know? That's what seems to appear in this meaningless world. So it can't be real because what God created is eternal, immortal, perfect, and never subject to decline or decay. In fact, one of the statements in the Bible, which we attribute to Jesus, but you could attribute it to all of us since Jesus said we are all like him, is that God would never allow his son to suffer corruption. the corruption of the grave. And that was true of Jesus Christ. Well, that's true of you and me as well. God would never create death that would destroy that which he's given life. That is a huge lie to believe that life can be taken from us. Jesus said that too. He said before he was crucified, or while he was being crucified, that he could call upon 1,000 angels to deliver him. But he wanted to go through that, he said, as the last useless lesson. The useful lesson was the resurrection. But to have the resurrection, he had to embody the experience of seeming alienation, separation from God, crucifixion, and death, which he went through for you and me and everyone. So, and Jesus is another example of the fully awakened mind, the fully awakened soul, the fully awakened identity that we co-share with him as equal, co-equal heirs with Christ. That right now we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. How could that be if we're seemingly seated here in this nightmare? One has to be true, and I would certainly go with what Jesus had to say. And one has to be false, which is certainly what I would suggest we realize. That right now we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. What does that mean? What part of us? The spirit that's one with God, that's never left the heart of God. The monad, if you will. The Satchitananda, if you will. You see, call it what you may, it's still the light, the truth, the way. Doesn't matter what you call it. What matters is what you make of it with your mind. So, A Course in Miracles will save you much time, as it is the most direct in addressing the root cause of all upset and despair, regardless of the form it might take, which again is the belief in separation from God. And with that comes the fear of God's reprisal, wrath, and punishment. This is where we made God in our own ignorant image and not in our divine image. So the belief in separation, although it never happened in truth, was believed for a second. And in that second, it gave rise to time, space, and becoming, which are part of that false world that's outpictured as separation, and which made fear and defense and attack seem to be valid. In the allegorical story of Adam and Eve in the Bible, it shows how Adam and Eve, who knew oneness with God, chose to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in that partaking and looking into duality, suddenly they became fearful of God and ashamed and immediately tried to hide themselves. Well, Jesus said that the ego mind projected this false universe in order to hide from God. I would say it's a pretty interesting way to look at this universe, isn't it? A place ego mind has manifested in which to hide from God by generating distractions. The distractions then dull the upset and the despair, which always comes with ignoring truth or God. There's no way you can escape from God, because God is who you are and what you are. So another way to look at ego mind is the belier believer. Notice belier believer in life's falsehood, which is the promotion of separation and adversarial positioning of every kind. So this false self can only seem real as long as we prefer conflict and chaos to peace. But sooner or later, the mind must find respite and repose, and that can only be found in truth. The name of Sai Baba, Satya Sai, really means he who reclines on truth. He is the truth embodied, which is simply another symbol or image by which we can have a relationship that seems to be leading us to greater truth, but in truth, it is activating and awakening that same divine self, which is what happens when you come to one who is fully enlightened in God consciousness. It's imparted. It rubs off on you. It gets into you by association. You commingle the diamond particles as you have satsang and darshan with a great enlightened being. So meanwhile, in this nightmare, the ego mind is busy generating things to be fearful of. It is giving rise to meaningless thoughts that reveal a meaningless world to keep you constantly engaged in trying to protect yourself, save yourself, fix yourself, make yourself better, make yourself whatever, whatever, because it wants you to keep distracted from realizing who you are. Because once you realize who you are and that the ego is simply a shadow that has no substance apart from your belief in it, it vanishes. But it thinks it has a life meanwhile. It's a no-thing that never was. It's like a phantom. But it gets puffed up with life or a quasi-life by your attention and feeding it falsehood and believing in falsehood. That's how you feed it and keep it going. When you just quietly dismiss it, you know, you don't make a big deal out of it. You don't try to destroy it, kill it, do anything with it. You simply dismiss it as being unreal. Then that energy is not lost, but it comes into you as a sense of tremendous revelation and empowerment. And that's what gives rise to that tremendous self-confidence that comes into you when you're spirit-filled. It's part of that backwash that happens when you transform illusion and return the energy to truth. So whenever these things arise, simply take a deep breath and return that distorted thought form to truth. Return it to truth. Return it to love. Return it to Christ. Return it to the Holy Spirit. Give it to Sai Baba. They all mean the same thing. But don't have any more tea with it. It's no longer allowed as a guest in your mind or your heart or your reality. It's not wanted, okay? Dismiss it. You know, somebody comes at the door that you really don't want to see, ignore them. They'll go away. They'll go knock on another door. Do the same thing with those distorted thoughts of fear and anguish and despair. So when we are believing that we're living in a meaningless world, separated from God or without God at all, we will always feel fearful, upset, and despairing. So by the very experience of fearing and despairing, we can immediately recognize we are looking at something that is a false appearance, something that is not really there. Another way to dismiss these thoughts is to send them back to the nothingness from which they came, or seemed to come. So it's very much like mistaking a rope in the grass for a snake. We have been taught by everything in our past and in this world to mistake the illusion for reality. But bottom line, if God didn't create it, it is not real, period, and therefore does not exist. And here is where our mind is retrained to see and understand correctly by that inner teacher of truth. So here goes a lesson that you can apply to a present concern about a person or situation in your life. Pick something that seems to be recurring as a source of unhappiness in your life. Someone you're worried about or some situation you fear may occur. Now remind yourself, this is a meaningless thought. My meaningless thought is showing me a meaningless world. I can tell it's not true because I feel upset and concerned about, and then name whatever it is, or such and such that you're afraid may happen. But I want only God's truth to direct me. So be gone, meaningless thought, and exhale forcefully as if ejecting such a fear, worry, or concern. Like that. And let it vanish into the light of truth. Give it over, surrender it totally to truth, to spirit. And know that it is the teacher of truth, the divine spirit, that brings correction, not you. This is not a doing for you. That is the important key, because you do not need to know what to do, say, or think. In fact, at this point, you really have no way to do anything about anything. Your only task is to release fear, worry, and concern to the truth, to the teacher and spirit of truth within you, who will dissolve. Who will dissolve whatever you offer for you, and will return your mind to peace and Ananda. Quite a good exchange. You give up the meaningless and the worthless in exchange for divine peace and freedom. Pretty cool, I'd say. So A Course in Miracles will lead you day by day to the truth already present in your mind and heart. This is not something that you're creating or having created for you that's not you right now. You're completely whole, holy, and one with God right now. So this is not a doing. This is a revelation of the truth that is. And as you allow yourself to be taught to heal, as you allow the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit heal you, with your healing, your loved ones and your friends are healed at the same time, because we're one and we're never healed or set free alone. So you become a source of healing and reconciliation and revelation and transformation just by turning your mind, your upset, and your despair consistently back to the teacher of truth. You offer that exchange, and you allow that exchange, and you take from the teacher Ananda, bliss, equanimity, samadhi, satchitananda, reality. Okay? So that's the good thing, is that, you know, you may be worried about your child or someone in your family, and you don't really know what you could do to help them, this is what you can do to help them. Not temporarily, but to liberate them forever. Because one teacher of truth is all it takes to save the world. Which is why Jesus the Christ is called the Savior. He did it perfectly. He fulfilled his part in the divine plan perfectly. But now we are each to awaken as that closeted Christ and get out of that closet of ego confinement and illusory limitation. Get out of the closet, Christ. Be born the Beloved. Be born the Christ. Awaken to your own divine saviorship. So the healing is simply of the divided mind. One part of the mind had been given over to the belief in separation and conflict. So now you will be dissolving a meaningless worldview by offering your thoughts to truth for correction. Thus, upset by upset, you keep returning your mind to truth until peace is all you see. And when you see only peace instead of all the things that seem to be out there now, you will have found that the kingdom of heaven, the new earth, the golden age, have been at hand all the while, but simply awaiting your recognition and return to sanity. So know that you're not alone in this journey. We walk arm by arm with the Christ, each one of us hosting his Holy Spirit within us. And we remember that, as Jesus states in A Course in Miracles, the healing of God's Son is what this world is for. And that Son is the mind that God loves, the soul that God loves, that we all share as one collective sonship. We are all experiencing this healing here at this time, space, this time-space-bound Earth school. We're all students in this school. We are all healing together. We are all returning to sanity together. We are all awakening as the one divine spirit. And we're all being taught by that one teacher of truth within us all. So I hope this has been helpful to you. You probably will need to listen to it a few times on the archives, which are available at BBS Station 1. Scroll down to my page and click on, or scroll down to Wednesday and click on my show, and it will take you to the archives. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting Shanti, which is the Sanskrit vibrational emanation of peace. It's the very embodiment of the energy of peace. Deep breath. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace, peace, peace to all of the sonship, which is you and me and everyone. Adonai.